What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? They did not say, Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through and where no man dwells? And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land, and you made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, Where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me, and the shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Jeremiah 2:4-8. Israel's sin. She forgot who she was. She forgot of whose she was and from where he had brought her from. What distracted her? What drew her away from him? Well, these questions of identity and faithfulness we must consider too, for what distracted and attracted her, Israel, are the same things that approach us daily in our walk with the Lord, and they can also be found as evidence against us in the lives we live today by our forgetting who we are, of whose we are, and who brought us out of our Egypt and promised to take us to the promised land, to heaven, his home. Like Israel, many Christians can be found making unholy sacrifices at the altars of the gods of darkness. Many can be found to have taken the bait, drinking the Kool-Aid, and sitting at the table of those who hate and despise not only the things of God, but of God himself. They do not see that the laws of God are there to help them, but they see them as chains, keeping them from the life that they want to live, feeling good about the choices that they make, that they know make them no matter the outcome or the consequences. And when one is held in darkness, they cannot see that there are yet options before them and that hope yet has a place, that peace can overcome pain and life can overcome death. It is not the people or their environment alone that entraps and ensnares them, capturing them and making them slaves to their sinful nature, but their hearts are what direct and lead their flesh to act and react. It is the heart of a person that will feed their mind, that tells them what to seek out and where to find it. Scripture tells us that the heart is deceitful beyond all things, beyond all measure, and asks the question, who can understand it? But it also answers that question, God and God alone. As Israel found herself separated from God by her actions and beliefs, she could also be found having herself being wooed back to him by his calling through the prophets. But she would not listen to his calls. He is patient with us, as he was with her, but he will not continue to let us wander further and further down a path that leads us away from him. Israel's history is testimony to this, and the words written in the revelation of Jesus Christ are his testimony to the churches. He sees where we are before we see it, and by this, in these words, comes his warning to us today. We were created in the image of God. In the image of means in his character, in our creation, we are made in the flesh where he is spirit. And for this reason, Jesus was born of a woman in the flesh so that he may be like his brothers in knowing the limitations they experienced every day. He knew hunger and thirst and tiredness, pain and suffering in the body. But he showed us that it is possible to be patient, just as he is patient. We are called to be patient with one another. Just as he is love, so are we called to love one another. Just as he pursues justice, so are we called to pursue justice also. Those that have answered his call to come and to follow him are also called to be holy, because he is holy. To be faithful, just as he is faithful, and to live righteous lives, being found blameless, not perfect. Because as long as we are in these bodies, in this flesh, we cannot be all that we can be. But he alone was born perfect, and he died sinless. We were given to God's ways to live by, ways that would bring us together as a people to be mentally healthy in our thoughts, morally healthy in our living together, and socially healthy by our caring for one another, just as he is with us. When we have been called by him, we then are called his own, and it is then on each of us to respond to him. After all, who among us wants to be forgotten? Who among us likes to be ignored? Who among us wants to provide support for someone who can't even say thank you for what you have done for them or do for them? But they take everything for granted as though it is entitlement to them, either because of their stature or because of their need. And who among us does not want to be loved? Who among us does not know the pain of separation and being far from those that you love? But God would make a way for Israel and for those of us who would follow after her. In Jeremiah 31, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Matthew Henry says of this, "The people of God shall become numerous and prosperous." This would come from the new covenant. The covenant of grace made with believers in Jesus Christ. Not, "I will make for them a new law, for Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But the law shall be written in their hearts by the finger of the Spirit, as formerly written on tablets of stone. The Lord will, by his grace, make his people willing people in the day of his power. And all shall know the Lord. All shall be welcome to the knowledge of God and shall have the means of that knowledge. There shall be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the time the gospel is published. And no man shall finally perish but for his own sins, none who is willing to accept Christ's salvation." From the fall in the garden, mankind has been destined for death, as death entered into the world at the moment of the fall. So then came also the separation of God and man, the relationship broken by trust, and the journey began that would bring us to the Son of God and the hope of reconciliation in life. Reconciliation had to be made for salvation to be known to us. Reconciliation is the restoration of harmony and relationship, the removal of the obstacles that once separated. Salvation is deliverance from our sin, the renewing of our heart and spirit. We no longer live or see the world from our own view, but we see it as Christ sees it, and there is a rebuilding of trust. 2 Corinthians 5:16-19, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. From Matthew Henry again, "The renewed man acts upon new principles, by new rules, with new ends, and in new company. The believer is created anew. His heart is not merely set right, but given a new heart to him. He is the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Though the same as man, he is changed in his character and conduct." These words must and do mean more than outward reformation. The man who formerly saw no beauty in the Savior that he should desire him, now loves him above all things. The heart of the unregenerate is filled with enmity against God, and God is justly offended with them, and yet there may be reconciliation. Our offended God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. By the inspiration of God, the scriptures were written, which are the word of reconciliation, showing that peace has been made by the cross, and how we may be interested therein. Though God cannot lose by quarrel, nor gain by peace, yet he beseeches sinners to lay aside their enmity and accept the salvation he offers. Christ knew no sin. He was made sin, not a sinner, but sin, a sin offering, a sacrifice for our sin. The end and design of all this was that we might be made righteousness of God in him, might be justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And in Colossians 3:1-17, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so do not be like Israel in her fallen state. Remember who you are, of whose you are, and from where he has delivered you. And with a grateful heart, give thanksgiving.